Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, hey, y'all, good morning. Thank you so much for being here. Every year we do a special Christmas offering that is giving above and beyond our normal tithes and offerings. And I'm really excited to announce today that 100% of this year's annual Christmas offering is going to help launch a special needs ministry here at our church. Our desire at Pleasant Valley is that every child, every teenager, and eventually every adult with special needs can fully belong in this church and encounter the love of Jesus in a life-changing way. And God is already at work in this way. Every week, more than 11% of the children in Valley Kids have a known disability or special need. And His word is spreading that Pleasant Valley is a church where every child is welcomed and every child is included. We're seeing new families every month come, families being touched by the power of Jesus that are looking for a church home. But if you look beyond the walls of our church, the need is huge. According to local school data, there are 2,500 school-aged children in Davis County with a known disability or special need. Kids that are made in the image of God who beautifully display the diversity of His glory. Families who need the love of Jesus and the hope of the gospel, yet many of those families have been turned away from other churches. And they've not been able to truly belong in a church family because maybe those churches weren't equipped to include them. Pleasant Valley, that is not okay. Our vision is to saturate Owensboro with the gospel. And so we must be a lighthouse and a safe harbor for weary families doing the beautiful, hard work of raising children with disabilities. So through this year's Christmas offering, your generosity can help us take crucial steps in launching this ministry that will do the following. We want to provide one-on-one companions for kids every single Sunday. We want to create sensory-friendly environments. We want to offer respite nights for parents. We want to develop discipleship resources for our caregivers. We want to host gatherings where families can build community and find encouragement. And Lord willing, this offering will allow us to create a staff position dedicated specifically to expanding our special needs ministry and ensuring that every person in our church has the opportunity to be discipled and that every family receives the support and love that they need. Pleasant Valley, this Christmas is our chance to show the heart of Jesus to every family touched by disability and to say to them, you are seen, you are loved, and you belong here. That's what this year's Christmas offering is going to make possible. And I can't wait to see how God's going to use our generosity. You can give to that offering starting next Sunday and all the way through the end of the year, all right? Well, I want to invite my friend, if he would, to come up here and join me. One of our core values at Pleasant Valley is a biblical value. It's to give honor where honor is due. And today, we want to honor Johnny Norris as he is officially retiring from PVCC's Director of Facilities and Grounds. If you don't know Johnny, this brother is a kind, humble, meek, selfless, hardworking servant of the Lord. So much of what he has done has been behind closed doors. But let me tell you, a big part of the reason we are in this beautiful new building today is because of the work this man did behind closed doors, his leadership, his sacrifice for our church. It's really hard to imagine our staff team without Johnny Norris. He and his wife, Melissa, are choice gifts to this church. So we want to give honor where honor is due. Pleasant Valley, let's say thank you to Johnny as he is retiring from this critical role. Amen. Well, brother, you are very loved. I whispered to Johnny as I walked up here. Of course, I was joking. I said, "You're ready for your 30-minute speech, right?" And I thought I was going to make him panic. He said, "No, I got a 45-minute speech ready." So the joke was on me. But hey, we love you, man. Bless you. Thank you.
It's been my honor. Thank
you. All right. Bless you, man. All right. Well, hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We finally made it to chapter 6, the last chapter of Ephesians. We're in week 34 of our study. Let's stand again. So you're getting your cardio in today. You're up, down. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read four verses over the next couple Sundays. Children, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. He's going back to the Ten Commandments here. It's the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, kids, and that you may live a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. Lord, would you bless now the reading and the teaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard about a daughter that asked her mom, she said, "Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world?" Her mom said, "I don't know, ask grandma." I was scrolling on social media the other day and I saw an article. And it said, study finds parents who have four kids are less stressed than everyone else. And if you have four kids, you guys are the least stressed of all of us. But I was scrolling through Facebook and the comments were comical. Okay, again, the argument says if you have four kids, you're less stressed than everybody else. The one person wrote, she said, these researchers clearly haven't met the second child. Another person wrote, yeah, that's because the third child breaks you. And then someone else wrote, I think maybe our stress levels are so high, we can't even process it anymore. John Wilmot was the Earl of Rochester, and he's known for having said, he said, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories. In Ephesians 6, Paul is addressing children and parents in four verses. I was going to try to get all four verses in today. It's just we don't have time. So we're going to break these four verses down into 2 weeks. Today, we're going to look at verses 1-3 and specifically address children, but not just like five-year-olds. Any of us who have living parents still. And then next week, we're going to talk specifically to parents, okay? So kiddos, if you're in the house, and I'm going to define a kid as anyone who is probably 18 or younger, or you're still under the authority of your parents. So if mom and dad are still paying your car insurance, you better listen. If they're helping you go to college, if they're putting gas in your car, or if there's, you know, if you're in any way under the leadership of your parents, I'm going to qualify you as a kid this morning. And so this first part of the sermon is for you. But also, I want to talk specifically to young kids. You know, you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want you to really listen. Sometimes we feel like, oh, church is just for the big people. Kids, this first part of the sermon is just for you. And so I want to ask you kids to give me about 5 minutes here, all right, whether you're 4 years old, 6 years old, 16. Look, kids, here's the thing. I haven't talked to your parents about this, but I think if you will fully engage here, mommy and daddy is going to hook you up with some ice cream after church. I just think they're probably going to be willing to do that. Parents, you'll thank me in a minute. All right, here we go. Verse 1, children. 5-year-olds, y'all listening? 10-year-olds, 18-year-olds. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Kids, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, kids, and that you may live a long life in the land. Kids, God says in verse 3, you have the opportunity to live a long, happy life. So what do you want to do, kids? If you want to live a long, happy life, what do you need to do? Read the underlined portion with me here, kids. I want to get you guys involved. Let's go to verse 1 here. Kids, when you see it underlined, say it out loud, loud and clear with me. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Now, what's the promise here? Kids, if you obey, honor, and respect your parents, God promises you in verse 3, it will go well with you, and you will have a long life in the land. Kids, this is a great promise from God. God loves you, and he gave you parents to help you live a long, happy life if you obey your parents and you respect them. Children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Kids, it is God's plan. It is God's will that you obey your parents. Why? Because, kids, in God's good design for your life, he has put you under the authority of your parents. Okay, so God gave you parents to love you, to teach you, to guide you, and to be in charge of you. Now, kids, this wasn't your parents' idea. God came up with this plan. Now, here's what this means, kids. When you disobey your parents, you are disobeying God. Because God is the one who put your parents over you. So kids, whether you're 7 years old or 17 years old, here's what God is teaching you this morning. You are to do what your parents ask you to do when your parents ask you to do it with a respectful attitude. And all the parents said, amen. Look at what God says in verse 2, kids. Next verse. Honor your father and mother. That word honor in verse 2 is talking about our attitudes. So it's not just doing what mom and dad say, it's doing it with a good attitude. So kids, let's say your mom asks you to clean your room. You're not going to say, fine, I'll clean it. God would have you to say, yes, ma'am, I'll clean my room. So you're obeying mom, but you're doing it in an honorable, respectful way. Kids, back-talking your parents is sin against God. Kids, raising your voice at your parents is sin against God. Rolling your eyes at your parents is sin against God. Slamming your bedroom door when you don't get your way is sinning against God. Teenagers, hiding that vape is sin against God because you're dishonoring your parents. Kids, if your parents ask you to do something, God expects you to do it right then. If you wait until you feel like doing it later, that is disobedience, okay? Delayed obedience is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. Now, parents, this at least partially falls on us as well. And this will be the whole sermon next week. But parents, and I'm speaking to myself here and Annie as well, some of us have enabled our kids' disobedience. I'll give you an example. Parents, let's say you say to 6-year-old, little Johnny, put down that cigarette. Just joking. I just seen if y'all are paying attention. Hey, if little Johnny's smoking cigs at 7, we got deeper issues than that. Although, like back in the 70s, that was the thing. Like all my older cousins had their first cig by the time they were like 8. Anyway, parents, seriously, if we say, Johnny, put on your jacket, young man. But then parents, if we say, Johnny, 1, 2, parents, if we do that, listen, We're teaching our kids a contradiction. There's a Greek word for delayed obedience. It's called disobedience. If we tell Johnny to do something, then we start counting. We're teaching Johnny, hey, bud, you don't have to do what I say when I say it, but somewhere between when I say it and when I get to three. But if you're anything like Annie and I, especially when they were younger, three becomes four. I think one night I got to like 171. Four becomes five, five becomes 10. Look, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal when you ask the four-year-old to put down the cookie. But parents, it's a big deal when that four-year-old is 14 years old and they get their smartphone and you got rules that go with it. And on that smartphone is access to all the porn in the world. You see, the difference in obeying immediately and obeying 5 minutes later can be the difference in life and death. So parents, if we allow delayed obedience, we're teaching our kids disobedience. We're teaching our kids to sin. Parents, we got to take this seriously. This command from God to children to obey the parent, God is making an assumption here that parents are providing the authority and instruction for kids to obey. Our culture, and this could be a soapbox quickly if I'm not careful, but our culture has a very distorted, unbiblical, jacked up view of parenting that has been far more shaped by child psychology than it has scripture. Now, there's a time and a place for psychology. All knowledge is God's knowledge. All truth is God's truth. I'm not against that. I've studied it. I use some of it. But our primary authority is scripture. Okay, so this secular culture is so afraid of giving the parents any real authority in the home. We have become a kid-centric culture where the kids call the shots in the home and the parents are afraid to lead. And it's devastating to families. Can I give one example? This is kind of an extreme example, but the extreme fringes end up kind of shaping the rest of culture. This is from a university in Australia. I saw this article last week. According to experts, parents are now being told they should ask their babies for consent before changing their diapers. Experts say, parents, and they walk you through how to do it. Parents, you are to get down to the baby's level and say, you need a nappy change. And then you pause so the baby can, quote, take it in. Honey, you are laying in your poo-poo. Do I have permission to change you? Listen, God created authority structures in the home, and they are good for our homes to be God-honoring homes. Our children cannot be in charge. We are the parent. They are the child. This is God's design. Now, that doesn't mean we don't give our kids a voice. It doesn't mean we don't value their opinion. Annie and I ask our kids all the time, how do you feel about this? How do you think about this? I mean, especially as they get older, we have to, and this is next week's sermon, I'm cheating a little, we have to teach them to begin to make their own decisions, because one day they're going to leave us and they're not going to be under our authority. But at the end of the day, God has ordained that parents be the authority in the home. Parents' submission to authority is something our kids are going to have to do the rest of their life. They're going to have to submit to their boss one day. They're going to have to submit and pay taxes. Their whole life, they're going to be submitting to authority. And God gives them to us first so we can lovingly teach them to submit to authority. Parents, by teaching our kids to obey us, we are helping teach them to eventually obey Christ. All right, kids, I think y'all did real good on that. I think you deserve some ice cream. I want to recommend a peanut butter bash from Dairy Queen with extra peanut butter. Or you go over to the Culver's and you get you a turtle sundae and add some peanut butter, all right? You're welcome, parents. Now, kids, I want to say one last thing to kids, all right? So, kids, give me 60 more seconds and you can, almost said check out. You can't check out. You still need to listen. Almost said, like, go back to playing on your phone. Don't do that either. Just, you should always listen to everything in the sermon. No, seriously, kids, one more thing. I was a kid once, too, and your parents were kids once, too. And let me tell you, none of us perfectly obeyed our parents, and you're not going to either. Kids, you've disobeyed your parents, and that is sin. And your sin, kids, separates you from a holy God. But kids, this is why Jesus came. Kids, you cannot get to heaven by obeying your parents because you'll never be able to obey them enough. Kids, you don't go to heaven by being a good kid. There's only one good person ever to live, and it's Jesus. Only Jesus. He was the only child who perfectly obeyed his father. And then Jesus, kids, whether you're 5 years old or 15, he died on the cross. For every time you disobeyed your mom, for every time you lied to your dad, Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you will confess your sins, kids, and believe in Jesus, he will save you. But kids, I want to warn you, you need him. Kids, you need him. Your sin has separated you from God, and you need forgiveness. You need Christ. Mom and dad won't get you into heaven. Only Jesus can do that. But you have to make the personal decision that you're a sinner, and you need him. So kids, if that speaks to your heart, if you feel like, you know, man, I'm a sinner. I've disobeyed mom and dad, or I've disobeyed my grandmother. I need Jesus. Oh, man, talk to them. Have them come talk to us. We would love to show you how to follow Jesus, all right? All right, now I want to spend our remaining time talking to older kids. And by that, I mean adults who still have living parents. Let's go back to the text, verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. The Ten Commandments, only 10 of them, but one of them was in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land. So fast forward 1,500 years to the New Testament, and that command still stands. We are still commanded to honor our mother and father. I think one of the most powerful ways, let's put some flesh on this, one of the most powerful ways we can honor our mother and father is to care for our aging parents. I think this is something that many of you in this room, you're entering into that season, or you've recently been there, or you're going to be there in the next 5 or 10 years. I've watched so many people in this church do this so beautifully. Care for your aging parents in their elderly years. It is a beautiful thing to watch. You've sat with your parents in the hospital. Maybe you've moved them into your home. You travel to see them as often as you can if they don't live here. You've sacrificed for them just like they sacrificed for you. I want you to know God is glorified in that. You are obeying this command. I heard of a story of a successful marketing professional. She lived across the country from her aging mother, and her mom was seeing early stages of dementia. And so the daughter was trying to care for her mom from across the country, but her mom was becoming increasingly confused and lonely. And so this young professional woman, she quit her dream job. She moved across the country. She bought a house, and she moved her aging mother into her new home so she could care for her. She gave up the city that she loved, gave up a job she was crazy about to care for her aging mother. A friend said, "Man, how did you decide to do that so quickly? Like, you gave up everything." She said, "Mom went without for decades so I could build my life. Now I get to give part of my life back to her." God is glorified in that. This is a good, noble, God-honoring thing to do. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It was 2 days after Christmas 2023. We had just been at my mom's and Katie's celebrating the holidays. Many of you are familiar with my mom's story. She was really sick with pulmonary fibrosis, and we had plans to come back a few days later and see her that week again. So we leave Katie's, we head back here to Owensboro, and as soon as we get back into town, like, I just hopped off the bypass on the New Hartford Road, and I get a phone call from my oldest sister, Andrea. She said, "Jameis, you need to come back." She said, "Mom's taking a turn, and she's probably not going to make it through the night." Some of you have received that phone call. My heart sinks. Drop off the rest of the crew. My daughter Ellie and I race back to Katie's. When I arrive, the whole family is already there. I walk back to Mom's bedroom. She's lying there in the bed provided by hospice, and she's asleep. One of my three sisters was lying there in the bed holding Mom. My other sisters were sitting on the bed holding her hands. And my Aunt Rita, my mom's sister, who has a beautiful voice, was singing over my mom this song we used to sing at my church growing up. Some of you are old enough to remember it. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." My mom loved that song. Everyone was crying because we were saying goodbye to the greatest woman we'd ever known. I read Romans 8 over my mom. It's the same passage I read over my dad when he died. I leaned over and I kissed my mom on the forehead and I said, "I love you, Mom. Thank you." I raised up and she took her last breath. Mama died, but she waited for her baby boy to get home. We sit around her and, man, we just wailed. After a little bit, I went into Mom's piano room by herself. Mom, she never had training or lessons, but she had a gift from God. She could play piano by ear, any song. It's where Cruz got his gift. And I sat there by her piano where she used to sing and play over us kids, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." And she would play and teach us the old hymns like "When We All Get to Heaven." Mama was in heaven now, singing like she never had before. But I'm sitting there and something happened that I didn't see coming. All of a sudden, this massive tidal wave of guilt just begins to crush me. And all of a sudden, I mean, my mom had passed away maybe 10 minutes before. And 10,000 regrets just pound me. I should have gone to see her more. I was so busy. It was so easy to make excuses. I don't have time to go to Katie's. And Mom was always so supportive.
I mean, she loved that I was a pastor. She would say, oh, honey, don't worry about it. You take care of your family and you take care of that church. But I should have taken care of her more. I didn't make enough time for her, and I was always rushing back to Owensboro to get back to work, and I should have stayed longer. I should have stayed overnight more. And so all of these regrets and guilt are just crushing me. And let me tell you, it took me a while to move on and to receive God's grace for that. Now, you may be thinking, why in the world would you tell us that? You know, I don't know. Maybe the Lord allowed me to experience that so I could pass it along to you. To those of you who are still fortunate enough to have your parents. I know life is busy. I know we all got a million things we're doing. But let me tell you, I want to encourage you, obey God. Honor your father and mother. Go see them. Make time for them. Take them on a trip. Take your dad to a UK game. Call them, FaceTime them. Ensure they're getting the best medical care they can get. Advocate for them. Take them their favorite treat. I heard the story of a single dad who, when his girl was little, he would stop every Wednesday on the way home from school and he would buy his daughter a $1 ice cream cone. It was their ritual. Did it every single Wednesday until she left the house. 30 years later, the daughter had become an engineer and her dad was retired on a fixed income. He was aging. So every Wednesday, she would drive across town, show up at his apartment with what was now a $4 ice cream cone from the same little shop. Even the little things can show honor. That meant the world to that dad. You know, every time UK had a game, I would call my dad the day of to remind him and to tell him the time and the channel. And that, you know, maybe it was a 2-minute call. Hey, Dad, don't forget, the Cats are playing Vandy tonight. You know, we both know they're going to lose, but they're playing, so tune in. And it was just our little time to connect. But he was honored in that because it let him know I was thinking about him. It's the little things. Listen, God designed the circle of life so that our parents get the honor of bringing us into the world. But we get the honor of caring for them as they leave this world. God designed it that way. There's a sense in which there's a role reversal near the end of life. So I want to encourage you to go see them as much as you can. Tell them you love them. And hug them as much as you can. Because trust me, the day is going to come when you give anything to be able to hug them one more time. You know, careers come and go. But you only get one mama and one daddy. Honor your father and mother. All right, in conclusion, the prospect of obeying this command to honor mother and father is really heavy, and it's really hard for some of us in this room. And let's just be real for a minute. Honoring your father and mother can feel almost impossible when your parents are not honorable people. Maybe you're here this morning and your parents did not give you the unconditional love that you needed. Maybe your parents weren't there for you. Your parents weren't a safe place for you. They hurt you. Notice in the text, God doesn't say trust your parents. It's interesting, he doesn't even say love your parents. Though elsewhere, of course, Jesus commands us to love even our enemies. But it's interesting in the text and in the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say love them, it doesn't say trust them, it says honor them. That is the word the Holy Spirit inspired, honor your mother and father. And I believe the Holy Spirit inspired this text knowing that it's a fallen, broken world where parents are sinners too. And many of us, maybe you have parents, they're not Christians. But God still calls us to honor. Now, this is going to be the heaviest part of the message today, okay, but we're almost done. So let's just ask for grace to receive what I feel like the Lord would have me to say. Lord, help us in this moment. This is heavy. God, this is hard. Lord, I pray now for those in this room who the relationship with their parents has been broken. Lord, it's not good. Lord, their parents have not been there for them, and there is hurt and there is pain. God, I pray for grace now to hear from you. And God, for grace to obey this command, even when it feels impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think the way you obey this command in verse 2, and the way you can honor your parents is by forgiving them. I'm borrowing this largely from the late Tim Keller, who I heard speak on this subject. For many of you, what you wanted more than anything else growing up was the unconditional love of your family. But your parents didn't give you that. And as a result, maybe it's hard for you to believe that you're lovable. Many adult children, even now, are driven by the need to prove themselves to their parents. You know, if I can make enough money, Dad will be proud of me. If I can have the right house and the right career, then maybe Dad will finally tell me he's proud of me. Or if I can keep the perfectly clean house, my mom will think I'm a good daughter. And so you have many adult children that are driven by the need to try to earn the approval of their parents. And yet, because those parents can never be pleased, we can get angry at them. We can get bitter, and we don't forgive them. So the only way to truly honor your parents, listen, is you have to be free to displease them. The way to be free to displease your parents is to go get what you've always wanted from them, from God, and to stop blaming your parents for not being able to be God. The only place we can get true fatherly love is from the Heavenly Father. If we want to understand this true fatherly love, oh, look at the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. There's this son, if you don't know the story, he rebels and he goes off and he takes his inheritance and he squanders it and he lives recklessly. He finally comes to his senses and he goes back home. But before he can even make it down the driveway, his father sees him from afar, and his father leaves the house and runs out in the field to meet him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, and he kills the fattened calf and throws this massive party for the child that's come back home. And Jesus says, that's what your Heavenly Father's love is like for you. But he didn't just sacrifice a calf and throw you a party. He sacrificed his son, Jesus, on the cross to forgive us of our sins, which means the Heavenly Father's love is unconditional. God's love is not based on our perfection. It's based on Jesus's perfection. And when we embrace the Heavenly Father's love, we can realize for the first time, I had nothing to prove. The day you know that is the day your relationship with your parents can be transformed. The day we stop letting our parents be God in our life is the day we'll finally be able to honor them and forgive them. Because we realize I have met the real Father. And I have nothing to prove to anybody. I don't have to prove anything to my parents. I don't have to have my parents' approval. I have God's approval in Christ. That is my identity. I'm his child, and he's proud of me. Not because of how much money I make or not because of how many kids I have. He's proud of me because I'm his child and I'm in Christ. And the only way to honor and forgive our parents is to receive the unconditional love of the Heavenly Father. that they could never give to us. When the 18th century theologian Jonathan Edwards was dying, one of his daughters was there. But the rest of his children and his wife were gone. Edwards turned to his daughter, Lucy, and he said to his daughter, "I know I'm not gonna last through the night." He said, "Lucy, write this down." She got out a paper and pen, and he said, "Write these words. First of all, tell my wife that the uncommon union which has so long subsisted between us is, I think, a spiritual one, and therefore one that will last forever. And Lucy, I want you to tell your other brothers and sisters that it's about time they look to a father that does not die." Brothers and sisters, our ultimate hope is not in our earthly parents. Our hope is in a heavenly Father who can not die. And he is inviting us this morning to come to him. All who are weary, and he will give you rest. Let's bow our heads. I'd love to invite our music team and our ministry team to come forward. Maybe you're here this morning and this last part of the message is your story. Your parents haven't been there for you. To this day, you're an adult and your parents still don't show the love and affection you need from them. You can never be enough for them. And this morning, the Lord is inviting you first and foremost to find your security in his perfect love. To run into the arms of the Heavenly Father and let him approve of you in Christ. And then out of that stability, out of that security you have, that you are perfectly loved by God, you are able then to forgive your earthly parents out of a place of confidence in Christ. Kids, I want to come back to you for a moment. Some of you this morning, you're old enough to realize you're a sinner. You've disobeyed mom and dad. You've lied to mom and dad. Some of you are teenagers this morning. Listen to me. Your mom and dad have loved you, not perfectly, but they've done their best. They've prayed for you. They bring you to church every Sunday. And kids, some of you, you're going through the motions. You're here this morning because your parents made you, but you know in your heart, you're not living for God. The secret sins you're committing. Some of you are You're drinking, you're doing drugs. You're doing things with your boyfriend or girlfriend that you know are wrong. I plead with you, turn from your sins. Believe in Christ. Christ loves you. He gave himself for you, but kids, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. God doesn't owe you another day. Don't wait until you're old to get your life right with God. Today is the day. You need Christ. Mom and dad will not get you to heaven. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Christ gets you to heaven. You need him. You must humble yourself. Plead with Christ to forgive you, to save you. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to come forward. I'll be standing down here at the front. We've got counselors to my left and right. Any of us would love to speak with you, to pray with you. I'm going to give it to Pastor Josh in just a moment. He and his team are going to lead us in a final song.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.